It's truly an honor to be here with you at First Baptist Church Hoover. We love you and are so thankful for your ministry here. It's on behalf of the 180 churches in our family across Birmingham. I want to say we're all a part of what God is doing. We truly are. The Great Commission is alive and well throughout Birmingham and certainly throughout the world. And I'm glad you're having Mary come, Mary Teal, who will come and share with you in a couple of weeks on a Wednesday night. She's our relatively new intern, and she's off the field, and she'll be taking some seminary courses at New Orleans Baptist Seminary and doing that remotely. And she'll be going back to Uganda at some point in the future. But while we've got her, we're glad that she's working with the BMBA family, and she's going out and sharing about what God is doing all around the world. And she's a remarkable young lady. So I've left some resources on the back table, and I'll get her to bring some more, and she'll share those with you as well, some things that you could take home and read about the ministry, missions, and all that God is doing. I'm so thankful for the text that we read this morning, relatively long, I know that, but it's an amazing story and very relevant. So as we look at the news, we go out in society today and we live our lives, we can certainly find ourselves dumbfounded at how things are going in the culture. The morality's waning. We find things in the school systems that trouble us, things that our children are going through. Often it's rooted in the breakdown of the family. We see that around us. The LGBTQ plus influence in our culture, not only in Hollywood, but in society, in the arts, also in government. And we see all these things happening around us. And certainly, we should be reminded that this is nothing new. We live in a fallen, sinful world, a world that's broken in sin. And we find that we're living at a time when there is a famine. Hosea talked about it, a famine for the bread of the word of the Lord. And truly, a lot of the issues that we see that are pervasive in culture and in families today are because we're not living by the principles in this book. 1,400 years, 40 different writers, but one author, the Holy Spirit. God gave us a message from heaven, divinely inspired. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And what happens when the Word of God and the Spirit of God doesn't have the liberty to speak into our lives, things begin to undergo entropy, breakdown. And that's what we see, even in church today. You know, I've talked to a lot of religious figures around Birmingham, the Seven Sisters, we call them, the seven major Protestant mainline denomination, all of them in decline, all of them struggling with an existential crisis. Are they going to be able to keep the doors open? And the reality is, unless we get back to the Word, back to this book, back to the gospel, back to sharing Christ, it's not going to change. It truly isn't. And when I read this story, I find great hope. Hope on a macro level, that there's hope in those churches that love the Word of God and love Jesus Christ, but there's hope down to the family and the individual level. When I was called to preach, church, I was a young man and a gracious older man invested in my life. He had gone through a family breakdown. He hit the bottom. And he said, I spent every night seeking God's word, reading the Bible, and I fell asleep in a puddle of tears on my Bible. And it changed my life when I got back to what God had to say. And when he shared that with me, I said, well, I need to read my Bible more. And over a period of a year, I read through the Bible, I studied the Bible, and God called me to preach. And I'm not saying God's going to call you to preach if you read your Bible regularly, but it truly transformed my life. And it happened for Josiah as well. I want to give you just a historical picture of the background. Truly, Hezekiah was a godly king. This would have been Josiah's great-grandfather. Love God. He even got 15 bonus years to live because he called out in prayer to the Lord and God was gracious to him. And he led Israel, Judah, back to the Lord. Tore down the idols, cleaned out the temple, and God's word was shining forth from Israel, from Mount Zion. It was a great time. But then his successor in his lineage, Manasseh, came to rule. It was a terrible time. Idols were erected. The temple was cluttered with all kinds of pagan deities and idols. It was just an awful time. And it was so perilous, so devastating. It was a time of sexual promiscuity. It was a time of paganism and superstition. But it was also a time of child sacrifice. The scripture tells us that Manasseh sacrificed his sons, plural, to these pagan gods. It was an awful time. And then, after Manasseh's long and evil rule, Amon came for a relatively short rule, and that was Josiah's father. So Manasseh was his grandfather. Josiah's father was Amon. And Amon was so terrible, we don't know exactly what happened, but the servants in his house killed him, assassinated him. And there was Josiah, an 8-year-old boy. Now he was the king of Judah. Could you imagine that? 8 years old, and I'm certainly he was under the tutelage of the leaders there, but as an 8-year-old boy, he was thrust into leadership. But God had a sovereign plan there at work. And he put his hand on that boy. And by the time he was 16, perhaps of age, God began to work in his life, and he began to tear down the idols across the land of Judah, even into Israel. He tore down the idols, and he began to dethrone those pagan priests that were there during his day. And so what I want to do is just share with you three movements of this story quickly this morning, because I think they are relevant to where the church is today. Now, I can't preach to everyone in America. They're not in the building. But I can preach to God's children. I can preach to the church. And so I want to do that this morning. And the first movement in this story is the lost treasure. The word of God had been lost. They had no contact with the written word of God until, as we read in the story, Josiah, as he was tearing down the idols and as he was refurbishing the house of God, the temple itself, he sent his secretary Shaphan there to make sure the money was distributed to those who would be doing the renovation work. And Hilkiah the high priest went into the treasury there on the Temple Mount. And as they were gathering the resources to pay those who were doing the work, and they were moving things about, they found a book, probably a scroll. And they found this scroll. It had to be massive because it said it was the law of God, the entire word of God. That would have been the Pentateuch, the 5 books written by Moses. And the scripture says that that high priest brought them back, and Shaphan read them to King Josiah. And as Josiah heard the word of God, this lost treasure, it began to affect him, began to impact his life. And he did what was in that culture the greatest sign of being moved emotionally. He tore his clothes. He rent his garment because he knew that they had failed the Lord. Not just him, but all the people of God had failed. I find it interesting, if you were to go back into 1 Kings 13, there was a prophecy given by an unnamed prophet 300 years prior that there would be a king who would rise up and tear down the idols. And now, 300 years later, at this time, Josiah was the man. He was the one. By the time they had found the book of the law, he would have been in his 20s. And so now, what does he do with it? He tears his clothes. His life is changed. He can't go back. When you encounter God, you're forever changed. What would he do? Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." And Josiah caught a glimpse of that. He knew that God's word is timeless. God's word can't be ignored. Jesus, before he went to the cross for our sins, when he prayed for his people, for his disciples even, he prayed this prayer in John 17, verse 17. He said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And then in Matthew 24, verse 35, Jesus made this promise. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And so this law, this word of God that had been hidden away in the temple of God and brought out for the king to hear, was about to have a great effect on the people. Now, if you know a little bit about the history, you know this revival, this renewal, this awakening didn't last forever, but for a generation. Because of the faithfulness of a young man, God did a great work. He found this lost treasure. I don't know if you know this, but if you ask people of different faiths or different religious backgrounds or denominations, those who are well aware of the different faiths out there, what would you say about the Baptists? Who are they? They would probably say they believe in evangelism, and that has been more true in the past than it is in the present. And they would say they're people of the book. They don't really ascribe to creeds so much, not that they're all bad, but they claim to put their trust and their belief in the book. Not a creedal people, not a people who put a lot of stock in confessions, but they believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Church, we got to get back to that. We got to get back to that. We need a rekindling of our love and our devotion to the scriptures. We don't worship the Bible. We're not Bible-olaters, but we truly are people of the book. And we believe that this is the most direct and clear way to hear from God, his word. Read it every day. So we've seen this rediscovery of lost treasure. Second movement in this story is the impact of the discovery. What happened? What happened? Well, as we saw in the scripture reading today, Josiah, he stood in his place at the pillar in the house of the king, and he read this proclamation. He said that we're going to commit ourselves to God and his word. We're making a covenant. We're going to walk with the Lord. We're going to listen to him. We're going to observe what he has told us to observe. And truly, it had probably been many years since they had had a Passover celebration in Jerusalem. But that's exactly what would happen. He called a Passover feast, and the people came, and they remembered how God delivered them out of Egypt, and they recognized the power and the supremacy of God. I love what Isaiah said in Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that was out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty or void, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose. When we truly grab a hold of the word of God, it doesn't return void. It makes a change in our lives. And I find it interesting. We read something truly special in the word of God a moment ago. When those men of the king wanted to understand what they read and wanted to know what it meant, they went to a godly lady. And I'm thankful for that, that there have been godly women in the churches that I served that you knew that whatever was going on in your life or whatever struggles you had, you could go to them and they would pray for you. Aren't you glad for women of God like that? They loved you. They cared about you. And they were women who loved the truth of God. And so there was this woman named Huldah. They could have, at this time, Jeremiah was alive and prophesying. They could have went to Jeremiah. They could have went to Zephaniah, who was prophesying during this time. But they went to this godly woman. And this godly woman, Huldah, told the king, listen, you need to listen to what God is saying. He has revealed himself to you through his word. But just be mindful of this, that our God is a gracious God. And because you've humbled your heart, because you've listened to the word of God, he is going to let you live your life in peace. And he is not going to bring calamity and the judgment that will fall until you die. Now, I would just be so glad if the Lord would be gracious to our churches, to our nation today, that he would stave off judgment and there would be a great revival in the house of God, that he would do great things with his people. He's in charge. He can do whatever he wants. And if that were to only last a generation, I would be okay. I would rather have that than to be here to experience the falling judgment of the Lord. I'll take it. If it's just for a generation. And so Huldah said that God is going to be gracious to you. And we see when Josiah stood before the people, he said he endeavored to walk with the Lord. It was personal to him. His personal life was changed. He said that they would keep the commands of God. It was a moral and ethical decision. Not just a personal one, but a moral and ethical decision. And he said that we would also perform the words of the Lord. It would be religious and ceremonial. They would do what God's word had to say in every facet. They would do it. He humbled himself. He was willing. You know, if we will humble ourselves, church, and go to God's word, he will change our lives too. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally. He will help you. He will show you the way. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23. Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We don't know what to do. It's not in us. We have to seek help from God. Third movement in the story, the power of God's word to transform. As we looked at what God did in Josiah's day, it truly transformed the nation. It transformed the people of God. Wouldn't you love to see the church come to vibrancy in the world today? That the gospel would resonate from every body of believers, every local church, that their focus would be not only on coming to church to worship and to hear the word of God, but they would go out to practice it, and they would go out to live it and to share that Jesus Christ saves. I'm so grateful for our missionaries who serve through the IMB and the North American Mission Board. We're so blessed. We truly are. Thousands, literally on the field, and they are there because of the faithful gifts and prayers of God's people, because we in our churches have raised up generations who go, who answer the call to go and share God's word. And I'm thankful for that, that they proclaim that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus died in our place on the cross. He paid the sin debt that we could not pay. And that on the third day he rose again, and that he is the only way that we can gain access to heaven. He is the only way that we can find peace in this life and abundant life at that. But you know what? It's not just the missionary's job. It's my job. It's your job. That the people around us, God has sovereignly placed in our lives, they need to hear that Jesus saves. They need to hear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And in the Word of God, we find power to transform. I love Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. This may have been one of your favorites. For the Word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, bone and marrow. It's sharp. It cuts. I'll never forget when I was invited to church as a young man. The pastor, he preached a very simple message from Hebrews chapter 9, 22, that by the shedding of blood, there's remission of sin. And I heard that Jesus died on the cross for my sin really clearly that day for the first time. And it pierced my heart. And I knew that if I didn't trust in Jesus and him alone, if I didn't repent and turn to Christ for salvation, then I would spend an eternity separated from God. I knew that. I'd be separated from the love and peace of God, and I would only experience the wrath and justice of God. I knew that was the case. And so I did that thing that was very unconventional for me. I asked the pastor, how do I become a Christian? How do I get my life right with God? I didn't know what to do. I didn't know the words to use. And he shared with me, and right there at the front of the church, that's the only place I knew you could become a Christian. I didn't know that you could be saved anywhere. I knelt down as a very quiet, reserved young man, and I trusted Christ. And it changed me. It truly changed me. I used to could not sleep at night. I worried. I was full of anxiety. And it wasn't just an emotional thing. It was spiritual. And it was like a weight was taken off of me when I heard the gospel and I responded. That's the power of the Word of God to transform. When it's preached, when it's taught, when it's shared, when it's lived, it will transform. So Josiah, he called that assembly of the elders in the kingdom, and he read the law of God himself, the king, not the secretary, the king. He read the law of God himself. He read it aloud. It said those great and small were there. Could you imagine? We had a pretty long scripture reading this morning. Could you imagine reading the five books of Moses in one sitting, standing, and hearing it? And the people were moved. It changed the nation. And James chapter 1 verse 22 says that we are to be not only hearers of the word, but what, church? Doers. Doers. They went out and they were changed. It changed what they did. Romans chapter 15 verse 4, for whatsoever was written in former days, what we've just read this morning, was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now don't think that that hope and all that happened did not cost Josiah something. It truly did. We read in 2 Chronicles 35 verse 7 that he himself gave 30,000 lambs and goats to the great offerings that they offered to the Lord as a way of saying, God, we failed. We want to make it right. All of these Passovers that we've missed, we're going to have a big one. 30,000 and 3,000 cattle. But imagine the relational cost, the personal cost, when he started tearing down the idols in the land, because their family put that up, because that meant something to a certain group or a person. All these idols had to go, even in the temple itself. All these idols were taken down, and it cost something. In church, when we turn to God's word, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us our comfort, our convenience. It's going to cost us our time and our resources as we advance the gospel to the ends of the earth. And this awakening that God brought on his land, his people, it truly changed things. Unfortunately, we find that he stopped listening to the Lord at one point. He had ruled for about 31 years, and the Pharaoh Necho came up from Egypt, and he was passing through to go and battle in Carchemish. And Pharaoh Necho had a word from God. God can use whomever he wants. And he told Josiah not to come around, not to interfere, that God would judge him if he did, but he didn't listen. He put on street clothes, he went out among the fray, and as Necho's men came, an archer took him out. He took out Josiah, and they carried him away in a chariot as he died. And the next four kings of Judah were not good men, descendants certainly of Josiah, but somehow they didn't listen. And so that was the unraveling of Judah. It finally fell apart. But aren't you glad that God's word is faithful, that there was in the future, from that perspective, a regathering and a rebuilding? The wall was rebuilt, the temple was rebuilt, and there was a return. God has his seasons when he works. And church, here at First Baptist Hoover, I'm praying for a new season among God's people. I'm praying that God will move. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, if we'll get back to that church, I truly believe that God will change lives. Paul told young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, he said, "Preach the word, be ready in and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." And I'm here to tell you that's happening. You just turn on religious television, then again don't. People will gather teachers that will say exactly what they want to hear. But I'm here to tell you that God's word transforms hearts and lives. It does. I want to pray, and we'll have a time of response. And as we respond to God's word, I'm going to be here at the front. If you just need someone to pray with you, if you need encouragement, or if you do not know Jesus Christ and you want to know how to trust in him, I would be glad to share that this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for First Baptist Church Hoover. And I thank you for the faithfulness that you have wrought here in the people's lives. And God, I pray that as we think about this great revival story from 2,600 years ago, that we would remember that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you for Jesus Christ. He is the only hope that we have. Lord, I pray that as we respond to your word today, we would stand on the firm foundation of God's word. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we're led in our invitation here?